Today's reading is in Genesis chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land, so Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, "I know that you are a woman beautiful in appearance, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife.' Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life may be spared for your sake." When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake he dealt well with Abram, and he had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go." And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold, and he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. At that time the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered, everywhere like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley, and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Now the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land and that you see I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Arise, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." So Abram moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which are at Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Abraham was the father of the Jews, of the Hebrews, and they looked at him as their father, and they revered him. The two great figures for the Hebrews was Moses and Abraham. And so sometimes we might think that because Abraham was counted as righteousness because of his faith and what he did, and because he's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 under that great hall of fame of faith, and because he's revered so much by the Hebrews, that perhaps he is without fault. But this passage today shows us Abraham was not without fault. He tells his wife, Sarai, that she would be noticed. She would be noticed by those that were in charge. And he told her, say that you're my sister, so they won't kill me in order to take you. Well, she is noticed. She is taken to Pharaoh's house. Doesn't give any details beyond saying that she was taken there. We might be able to make some assumptions, but that's all they would be. And the Lord afflicts Pharaoh and his house because he has taken Abram's wife. And Pharaoh is able to discern this and asks, you know, why didn't you tell me? The fact is, Abram was afraid for his life. This was a moment in which his faith was not as strong as it should have been. If God is telling him where to go, and if God has promised great things for the future for Abram, then he needed to have some faith there. But we are seeing it, you know, in hindsight. Hindsight's always 20/20. But we do see that he gives this, at best, half-truth in order to keep from being killed or, worse, imprisoned somehow in order to take Sarai. Then we see that, of course, Lot is still traveling with him and that they're both herdsmen and they both have great numbers of animals to the point that they can't really dwell together anymore in the same particular area because the land couldn't support them. You've got to have an abundant water source. You've got to have plenty of grass and things in order for the animals to graze. And so it was becoming stressful, and so there was some strife between them. And here's a moment where we can see the character of Abram. Abram simply says, you choose first. Whichever way you choose, I'll go the other way. Unfortunately, Lot chooses to go towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're going to see that in future readings, how that influences both him and his family. So sometimes we have to be careful the choices we make. They might make sense from a worldly point of view, but we really need to analyze from a spiritual point of view as well. We have to be careful that we're not making choices that will have detrimental effect on our spiritual life and our faithfulness. So we had a job offer that wants to take us to another city. We get, you know, some other enticing circumstance. We really need to think, you know, is there a church there? Am I going to be able to serve faithfully there? Is it going to be more of a hardship on my family? There's lots of things to consider. But Lot simply looked and said, hey, that looks like the best land. That's where I want to go. And so that's exactly what happens. And so the Lord tells Abram after Lot had separated from him, look, everywhere you see, north, south, east, west, as far as you could travel, it's going to be yours. But of course, we know that this is a future land promise that doesn't come to fruition for quite a long time. And so I'm not trying to say that we should not look at Abraham as a great example of faith. Obviously, we should. Otherwise, you know, Paul wouldn't have mentioned him. The Hebrew writer wouldn't have mentioned him. But what we really need to see is there's still lessons and cautionary tales that we might see. And we might also realize nobody is perfect. Jesus was the only one to live life perfectly upon this earth without sin. Thank you for listening today. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.